Welcome to the Sorry I Offended You podcast. Today's episode is Conspiracy Theories Are Demoralizing You. I wanted to talk on that. And I also want to talk on three ways you can benefit from Elon Musk buying Twitter. Obviously, this episode is being recorded after the Elon Musk situation where he did buy Twitter. There's some outrage from two different sides, from the ultra conspiracy theorists to the woke. Obviously, the woke love to be outraged. And I want to flip this to a benefit of how we can benefit our personal lives. And that's my goal here. Now, just going over some tech stuff, I'm doing my first video, and I'm going to be doing more video podcasts. This is an odd situation, though, because I have my laptop set up right now with my not-as-good mic, to be honest, but I still like the mic. I still honor and cherish it. And I'm in my dad's kitchen in the moment because I'm here to babysit his dog or dog sit his dog. I guess he's not a baby. So, you know, it's a strange situation and imperfect situation, but I'm here and I decided like it was best for me to record right now. I wasn't actually planning to record it, but I got a little bit of equipment here. Look, you can see that I'm married. So all the bots on Instagram, stay the fuck away. And let's get on to this show. Is there anything else? Oh, yeah. There's one more thing I want to say on the technical aspect of this podcast. I am planning to make live stream videos. I just thought like today would be a little too much, but you can find me live streaming on YouTube and Facebook from the time being. So you can catch me there. And perhaps maybe I'll do some scheduled podcasts. Maybe I'll do a blend. But that's what's going on in my thoughts right now. It's officially season five or four. Season five. The thing about seasons and podcasts, I don't really give a fuck. But I'm making this a new season because there's a genuine change in the podcast format. So let's get into the points I want to get here. So first and foremost, why conspiracy theories demoralize you. And I really wanted to talk about this. And for me, you know, if you know my journey, I've worked with and was a creator for the Open Mind Society, which was about truth or content and pointing things out. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to be a truther. Since back in 2020, I really went hard, I guess, into the conspiracy aspect. I've been questioning a lot of things. But I also wanted to pull things back here and help people who have the desire that want to build their business and their lives and want to build something positive in the world. Where is going down the rabbit hole becoming too much? And, you know, here's my thoughts around this. So when you get so caught up in conspiracy content and not saying that things are real or not real or not trying to denounce the things that you may be getting into, if you get so caught up in the tribalism, then you become demoralized. And demoralization is actually a tactic for control. So ironically, if you're into this conspiracy content and you're like focused on the elites of the world, taking over the world, the new world order and shit like that, but you've made it to the point where you feel demoralized, aren't they winning? And on a manifestation level, if you're putting that demoralization energy out into the world, how are you creating peace on earth? How are you creating peace for your family? So I really want to walk things back here and question those things. So stick with me here. Let's have a good time. Have an open mind about it. Maybe you don't agree with everything that I say. But with the Elon Musk thing going on right now, obviously you have the woke left being outrageous with their worst case scenario. And their worst case scenario is something along the lines of racism running rampant on Twitter and bad ideas happening and the January 6th Capitol incident happening on a large scale because evil people on the far right are influencing people to do dangerous things. And I got in some debates with some people on that where it's like, you know, someone tried to tell me lying wasn't covered by the First Amendment. And I'm like, well, you can technically lie. It just depends on where that lie leads. Like, you know, if you lie through libel and or slander, of course you can go to court for that. But if you're simply lying, you may deal with personal consequences, but you're not penalized by the government. I digress. So you got that worst case scenario playing out, that Elon Musk is a white supremacist overlord on Twitter. Who would have thought the first African-American to own Twitter would be a white supremacist overlord? It's just so wild. This is the Sorry I Offended You podcast. If you get offended by revolutionary ideas, hypermasculinity, wrongthink, sexual references, or success in general, then I please advise you to still leave a five-star review so people who don't have a stick up their ass can still find me. I am your host, Brandon Marshall Havener, aka the Spiritual Smartass. Let's dive into the shenanigans and motivational fuckery for today. So anyway, on the other side of things, on the conspiracy side of things, which I guess you could say is right wing, but it's really kind of like conspiracy on top of conspiracy. It's, to me, it feels like not just conspiracy, but like we have to like go deeper into conspiracy to point everyone out to be a fucking false light or false agent. What do they call it? Compromised, controlled opposition, right? So what I hear a lot sometimes is everyone being criticized of being controlled opposition. Joe Rogan is controlled opposition. Russell Brand is controlled opposition. Elon Musk is controlled opposition. And then their belief is that Elon Musk is chipping all of us to be able to access Twitter. And that's what he wants. He wants Twitter to be a central hub. And we need to get into Twitter through a microchip. But what's important now? What's in front of us right now? What's in front of us right now is that Elon Musk bought Twitter and he privatized it. And this could mean a slew full of benefits. Is that the right thing to say? Slew full of benefits? So this could bring particular benefits that if you're so demoralized about stuff that you can't see. Now, some of these benefits are, is we can truly reveal what's going behind people being shadow banned. There's an opportunity for a social media site that isn't censored and limited like other sites like Instagram. And I want to talk about my experience on Instagram as well. So you have that. You right now, I've seen people celebrate that they already seen changes in their Twitter algorithm. Now, maybe it's a placebo effect, but it seems pretty genuine. I think Zuby said, Zuby Music, if you don't know Zuby, follow him on Twitter. He's an awesome guy. He said I think he got around like 250K new followers from the algorithm shift. And then some other people were saying the same, which wasn't happening before Elon Musk took over. So I have some thoughts about that, which I'll go into once I get into my list of reasons why you can benefit your life, but there's a sneak peek to that. But I want to go back to my Instagram experience, right? And in my Instagram experience, I was wrongfully shadow banned, in my opinion. I feel like Instagram is sort of like this narcissist abuser. I know narcissist is thrown around a lot, but it's like fucking Instagram tells me that they're limiting my account. They don't tell me how they're limiting my account. They say it's up to 90 days, but they're not like revealing to me if I'm going to be unshadow banned in 90 days or if I have to build myself up after that or whatever. But my old account went from like, let's say 150 people on average on story views. And then when they nuked my account, it went down to 5 at least, you know, around 5, and then it kind of builds up to 20 at its best, but it rarely gets to 20 story views. I created a second account, and my second account gets way more engagement than my old account. My old account has 3,000 plus followers. My new account has 80 followers. The one with 80 followers still get more engagement. So the reason why I say this is I want to acknowledge that Instagram sucks with their censorship. They suck. And hopefully Instagram doesn't hear this and penalize me even more. But they suck with their censorship. And not it would be one thing if they were like a little bit direct about it, or they let you have a conversation about your status. But they sort of just like swipe you with a sickle. And if they hit you, they hit you. They got Rebecca recently for saying to a friend, words of endearment. All she was like, yes, bitch. Like in a good way. And they thought it was hate speech and they flagged her immediately for that. But Rebecca is still in quite good standing. But that's cool. So my point with all this is, I wanted to say, first of all, I want to say the lessons I learned from my Instagram experience. Could I have been more tactful? Absolutely. Did I see it coming? No, I didn't see it coming, though. I posted an article. The reason why I got flagged from Instagram is I posted an article from New Zealand saying that they were lifting the Fauci juice mandate. And in that article, it wasn't very nice to the prime minister there. So I posted that as a story. And as you know, stories go away after a while. I posted that as a story. Then like about 8 days later, Instagram flags me for it. And they really penalize my account for it. And the story wasn't even fully false. They just changed the wording a little bit. You know, saying like, no, not all people were lifted from the mandate, only some. And, you know, like they were just playing around with the words. So essentially, there was a lot of truth to the article that I posted, which is why I didn't think I was going to get penalized. But then they wrote it off as this crazy conspiracy theory and making me the spreader of misinformation and immediately nuked my account to oblivion. In fact, I don't even know how some people were able to still find my account. But with that being said, you can find me at brandon.marshall.havener on Instagram. The thing I wanted to say this, though, is could I rebel and say Instagram is trash and get off the platform completely? Certainly. But would that be the most helpful thing for me? Not necessarily. Instagram, there's a great opportunity for me to grow my audience. There's a great opportunity for me to lead my nose itches a little bit. I promise I don't do cocaine. I just have allergies. But I do shrooms, though, just so you know. I'm going to do a mushroom podcast in the future. Anyway, I digress. I should get to the point here. So Instagram, I could totally say fuck Instagram and get off. But would that be the most beneficial thing for me and my audience and my potential audience? I say no. Because Instagram is a wonderful platform to reach people. The algorithm can be very friendly. And you can shift your mindset around the algorithm so it can support you. And the follower limit is basically limitless. So looking back on that, I could get my ego involved and go by force and say fuck Instagram and just continue to post the most radical shit on Instagram that I know that they don't like. Or I could say, hey, they play by a certain level of rules and there's still benefit to this platform, so let me use it. Because let's say, you know, if I make a random social media account, or if I go on, let's say, Truth Social or Getter or whatever, that's nice. I'm not being censored, but who the fuck is there right now? And no disrespect to any new social media sites that are trying to build themselves up. I think that's an awesome thing to do. But the thing is, it's like, I got to use what's working right now. And I can change. I can lead people to different directions where I can be more uncensored. But why don't I still express myself on these public platforms and just learn the rules of the game? Because I'm still getting reach. And then I can tell people like, hey, if you want the uncensored version of this, go to my podcast. Hey, if you want the uncensored version of this, go to my Substack. I'm going to be releasing a Substack soon, both a free newsletter and a membership service. So that's going to be fun. And then I can say whatever the fuck I want. So I can hold back on some of the, you know, anti-Fauci juice messaging on my Instagram, or hope, like, did I really need to share that New Zealand news article? Was that the ultimate way to use my voice? No, there's stronger ways that I can use my voice without getting flagged, and I would still have my follower account growing on my original Instagram account. But now that was a setback for me. So what I'm saying is I can be more tactful with what I was doing and still fully express myself on platforms which will allow me to, and platforms where I have more ownership for. But as long as the tools are in place that I can benefit off of things like YouTube, like Instagram, like Facebook, like Twitter, probably even better now, then why not use it? So those are my thoughts. Those are the lessons I learned with Instagram. And if you have been demoralized by Instagram, what I would recommend to you is to truly, is there two members in here? How is there a member in this room? It says there's two people in here, but I thought I was the only one. Whatever. If you're a spy in here, maybe it's the CIA. Get out of my video room, all right? But anyway, my thing is if you got nuked on your Instagram, the best thing for you to do is first and foremost, you can make a secondary page. Your algorithm will probably go up because it's a fresh page that's not flagged. Lead people there. And then also, no matter what your standings are, build an email list, a newsletter, do a podcast. I think there's still censorship on podcasts, but it's a bit more lenient and there's a little bit more ownership that you have. But build your own stuff and use things like Instagram, Facebook, even Twitter, YouTube. Use those things as vehicles to get to your, you know, uncensored message. And, you know, do your best to keep your account in good standings. You know, I think Tim Pool does a very decent job at this on his podcast. Because even on his podcast, he says no cursing until you buy the paid version. So he makes sure his guests don't curse. And he plays by the rules while still getting his message out there. And I think that's just a brilliant thing to do. Like, he's less flagged and people know him and people are gaining access to him. And something else he said recently, he said something along the lines of like, the Elon Musk thing is inspiring. And that's one thing that I want to say that is a good thing that can benefit you from the Elon Musk situation is like, think of how do you create your own thing and create a solution for the problem that you feel there is in the world rather than being demoralized and feeling like everything is hopeless. It's like, can you position, maybe it's not as big as buying Twitter, but how can you position yourself to buy more ownership? Like maybe you're concerned with the 2030 plan of owning nothing and being happy, or maybe you're concerned about BlackRock and Vanguard buying up a bunch of property. Well, how can you set yourself up where you're buying property? Maybe multiple pieces of property that can assist you. In what ways can you get a message out there without being immediately flagged? In what way can you use sarcasm and play to do that? I think other good people that do this is like J.P. Sears used his comedy and sarcasm to get his message out there. And sure, he's been flagged a couple times, but a lot of times he's able to go through that with his sense of humor and almost like pretend that he's speaking the message that the algorithms want him to speak about while speaking a real message behind that by making fun of it and using sarcasm. And I think Ryan Long, a comedian, often, you know, gets his message out through comedy. And the beautiful thing about comedy is you can go super direct like a George Carlin, like ranting and stuff. But also you can use comedy to send a message that isn't straightforward in words where the algorithm immediately detects it. So that's the beautiful thing about comedy and art in expressing, awakening people, and getting your message out there. So onto the list that I had here, I just wanted to say three ways you can benefit from Elon Musk buying Twitter. So certainly, you know, I don't want to say that you, if you feel that Elon Musk is a bad person, more power to you. But I want to shift this into positives that's right in front of us right now. So for one thing, freedom of speech. As we know right now, if we take it at face value, Elon Musk says he supports freedom of speech and no censorship on social media. Number two, better Twitter algorithm. So now you have more freedom not to play by the same rules as an Instagram or Facebook. So you'll also be boosted instead of ghost banned, at least as of right now, as we know it, at face value. Twitter has gotten better as a platform for you to be able to get your message out there. Now, perhaps you're right. In the future, maybe it will require you to get a chip in your brain and get the fuck on Twitter. We can address that as we cross that road. But for now, you have a better algorithm and you have better reach and you can get your message out there. And then another thing is Tesla stock. Tesla stock dropped by, how much did it drop by? Can I look on this computer? It dropped into the 800s, and I think it was almost 1,000. So yeah, it dropped by 10.97%. The current price for Tesla stock share is 888.51. So I put money into Tesla stock because Tesla is a company I do believe in. I do believe it's a successful company, and I think people bailed because of the uncharted waters of him buying Twitter. And maybe for other reasons I can look into, but Tesla is a long-term stock, like a 10-year plan type ordeal that I feel will be going up because more and more people will be driving Teslas in the future. Another stock, since we're on the idea of stocks, is I also invest in lithium. Let's see what the exact stock, it's Lithium of America, I believe. But the exact, Lithium America's LAC. So I also invest in LAC because you need lithium for that damn car battery, for the electric cars. So you need lithium for batteries. And if that's the way that we're moving forward, whether you agree with it or not, you might as well benefit off of it. Now, in a closing statement from this podcast, I want to say this. You're going to do much better focusing on building your legacy, building your family, sort of like what Jordan Peterson says, clean your own room. And oftentimes we think of that criticism or that advice when it comes to trying to be an activist, right? You know, you see a lot of fake activists getting outraged about whatever's going on in the world. And like their attention is going everywhere except their own lives. And then they notice their own lives falling apart. But I want to say, if you go so far, I notice when you go so far on the conspiracy spectrum, fake activism and the conspiracy rabbit hole sort of meet. They're sort of the same. Now all of a sudden, you've got the activists who are saying everything is fucking racist and looking at it through a racism lens. But then you got the conspiracy side where everyone's fucking Illuminati. Like even independent musicians, you're like, oh, I saw you do the fucking hand sign. Or, you know, you start thinking everyone's controlled opposition. And then you get fucking paranoid. And you're like, no one's fighting for me. And that's a dark place to be, to think that the world is a hopeless place. And every single person with power is out there to get you and take your rights and do something horrible to you. And even if you're right, even if you're 100% right about everyone you say is controlled opposition, what are you manifesting in your world by continuously focusing on that and being in a fear state? I think my greatest regret in the past 2 years is not speaking up. I'm glad that I've been speaking up about things, and I've certainly have stood my ground when it comes to the agenda at play here with the Fauci juice and things of that nature. And I've done a good thing in helping my clients establish boundaries with their family, definitely helping my wife with the same, and definitely just helping people stand in their power when it comes to resisting the ideology of cancel culture and Fauci juice mandates. I'm going to even censor that on my podcast because you never know. And I'm glad I did that. But one thing that I always look back on is how time goes by so fast at times, and how my life is so fucking beautiful right in front of me, but I put myself in a fear state of what could happen. You know, of what could happen. Like people freaking out about food shortages, you know, the elites doing crazy shit and all that stuff. And something I want to say here is, and I want to go further into this on another episode. I think I'm going to call it Mushroom Musings. I've been doing a lot of mushroom medicine, I guess. Both microdosing and macrodosing. And when I go on those macrodosings, when I go on a trip, it really lets me see the world at a wide lens, at a wider lens of what it is. And I often get this message that we're going to be okay. I realize how powerful of a person I am. I realize how powerful humanity is. And I realize all the stuff that we have to be grateful for. And I'm going to hold back on my entire experience until my next episode that's focused on my experience with mushrooms, because I have a lot to share there. It's definitely been healing for my nervous system, and it's definitely helped me get perspective. It really helps me see the world from a 360 view and being less tribalistic. But I want to say this. If you're so caught up into thinking that, you know, someone is trying to emotionally manipulate you, or manipulating you into taking a chip, or manipulating you into raising someone up as a hero, are you also aware that you could be manipulated and to be completely demoralized to the point where you feel like there are no solutions, where you basically give up in your godlike or goddess-like power in creating? And I just wanted to bring that up. Like, it's one thing, I honor and respect you if you look for deeper truths and you question things and you speak up about things. But are you being tactful about it? Are you abandoning your responsibilities as a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, a wife, a husband, whatever? Are you taking away from your abilities as that role that you play in your family in order to go down these rabbit holes and get completely wrecked and demoralized about where the world is going? And are you using your manifestation powers at the best of its capacity? That's all I want to say. Like, I don't want to say that you're wrong. I don't want to say that, you know, you're paranoid. I don't want to say gaslight your experiences. But what's in front of us right now, and how do we benefit from that? And how do we do the best for our family and our own homes? And what do we have to be grateful for? Because that's important too. And it's important not to be demoralized as well. And the one thing is, it's like, a lot of stuff what Joe Rogan says is on point. A lot of stuff what Russell Brand says is on point. A lot of stuff what Elon Musk says is on point. But that doesn't mean I have to 100% make them my hero and trust every single thing that they say and eventually walk off a fucking cliff with them. Why don't you give yourself more credit that, you know, you can appreciate some things people stand for and some moves people make, while also not giving over entirely the entirety of your agency to them? And what if you just looked what's right in front of you as of right now? And if things go sideways, you'll have that awareness to be able to set those boundaries as required or stand up for what you need to. So that's the episode for today. I think it's a bit of a short episode. My first video. I just wanted to break the ice with the videos. I'll have some great clips to put on. Great clips. That's like a fucking barbershop. I'll have some great clips for Instagram stories and things of that nature and YouTube. And I'm excited for the new wave of this podcast. And I'll probably even have my intro song on here. So that'll be fun. So thank you for being here. And until next time.